Premier Accounting Associates, how may I help you?
Yeah, she is. I'm trying to speak with Kendra.
Yes, this is she.
Hey, Kendra, how's it going? Rick here with Health and Maintenance.
Yes, it's going good.
All right, good to hear that. So, you know, I thought it was easier to kind of hop on a quick call and discuss the details about the app proposition better. And then I was going through your website right now as well. How's the day coming along?
Good.
All right, good to hear that. So I'm looking at the readingandteatime.com, you know, website right now, and you're looking to build a podcast application, like you mentioned, for specifically for kids. So I'm assuming that the target audience would be the parents who sign up for, on behalf of the kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me a bit more about it. I mean, give me some high levels and what kind of features do you have in mind, and why exactly do you think an app is a good idea?
Yeah, so, in moving forward with our Reading is Cool initiative, one of the questions that I get asked the most, we started to, push the idea in our area specific. So I'm in Dauphin County.
Okay.
And so one of the questions was, well, how can kids get the app? And at first, you know, I thought, okay, that could look like getting the schools involved, but it's just been so hard penetrating that way when we can target, you know, different ways to get the app downloaded or send the information to the school so they can download the app, and then that way we're not tied to a partnership with the school.
Of course, and then I see on your website
that
you
been hard. Mm-hmm.
Understood. Okay, so yeah, I mean, penetrating schools, and then that's just a it's a bit of a process, and honestly, you may be able to tap into a few schools, and then a few of them might just still be left out, and they may not like the idea. At the end of the day, you may not be able to reach out to all your, target audience and all your existing listeners.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was a community involvement project. So it was getting, the students kind of, involved and stuff. But what happens is you get a contact. It's so much going on at school. And that's why a lot of our podcasts are a little old. So I just started filming or producing season 3, which is Courage. And I just decided to just not worry about partner with the school for the content and just worry about delivering the content to them and letting them know that this is accessible.
Okay. Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
I think I'm following you. So as far as the app is concerned, you would like to have the podcast, but then how about the store, for example, and the donate feature? Does all of that go on the app as well?
Yes. That's why I thought maybe we would blanket it as Reading is Cool. That's the name of the initiative, but I would definitely be up for any suggestions. And then kids could access the Reading and Tea Time podcast or the Bedtime Stories podcast. That way we have one app. But I don't know what your thoughts are with that.
So I'm not quite sure if I followed the question. So
we have two different podcasts, yes. So we have Reading in Tea Time. Reading in Tea Time is a podcast that's more like a Reading Rainbow. It's a reading show. And then Bedtime Stories is basically giving kids a bedtime story, bedtime routine. And we'd like to have reading challenges and different things to keep kids on the app, right? Yeah. But I thought it would be nice, since they both fall under the Reading is Cool initiative, to at least have them both on the same app. But maybe that's not conducive. But you can just let me know your thoughts. But that was my thinking.
So a question back at you. So, I'm reading on the website, and you have the podcast, target audience for the Reading and Tea Time. For example, is ages 6 and 12, right? Mm-hmm. So is that how you bifurcate the reading and tea time and the bedtime stories, or do both of them fall for, the same age category?
I target the same age category.
Okay. So yeah, I mean both of them can be in one application, and unless we have a strong solid reason not to have them on one, essentially they can be there can be two branches within one application, whereby you can have all the content for reading and tea time under one branch, and then the second branch would just more like a catalog, right? So there's two items on the catalog. One takes you into the world of reading and tea time, and the second one takes you into the world of bedtime stories. Now, I'm yet to go through your store and everything. I don't know how they are bifurcated, but essentially, as far as the podcasts are concerned, and even the videos, if they are, if there's some sort of bifurcation with the videos, they can all be brought together under one application. Because I think two applications would essentially be a bit of an overkill, A, and then B, from a distribution perspective as well, I think it's going to be a lot more hassle than having one application and everything in one place.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And so basically, when it comes to the store, we haven't really done anything with products yet. Doesn't mean that, we won't have like t-shirts and stuff like that. We do, sometimes we like recommend things through Amazon. So we do associate selling through Amazon. So we would share links like that more so.
So more like affiliate links or referral links to Amazon, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. The other way is,
And then,
just to, sorry.
go ahead.
I just wanted to add that, while you're looking to expand your store offerings, you could even go for what's called POD, that's a print on demand, and it can be automated to a point where the user can select a t-shirt, for example, a merch from your store, and the order gets automatically placed with the print on demand service, for example, Vistaprint or Printful. There's so many out there, and it can, the whole process can be automated, just that your website is going to be the storefront, and their integration is going to be the behind the scene production, whereby it gets
Then we would do that. Yeah, I would like to do that. Yeah, I would
awesome.
like to
Yeah.
do
So,
that. Yeah.
yeah, I think that's
Something
going to
like
help
that.
you. Sorry.
I just say, yeah, I would like to do that.
Perfect. And then I see the you offer Amazon Prime for 30 days and Amazon Student for 6 months trial. All of that can go on a single shop as well, and then it can all be categorized and filtered and bifurcated. All of that is possible,
Yeah, 'cause like
right?
sometimes like if we wanted like a sponsor, right? So
Sure.
they can sponsor an episode, or like say if a parent wanted to have a kid a shout out or wanted us to mention an improvement, somebody got A's or somebody, got a C. Like it's not all about the high achiever too, and they can click on those different things, to be able to send us a message or something like that as well. Like questions, like, if parents wanted to ask us a question, like on the next episode or something like
Right.
that. Yeah.
So yeah, of course. I mean, in fact, that's a great idea. I mean, we could have like a chat within, like a one-on-one chat within the application. So it looks like to the user or to the target audience, it looks like they're chatting with one person. But on the other side, on your side, it could be anyone who can talk to the queries coming in, so rather than they leaving a contact form and then you receiving it and getting back to them at your convenience. It could be a real-time chat as well, and then anyone from your team can pick up in the absence of the others, and they can reply back to the person who has an inquiry. Let's say, going by your example, when is the next episode coming in? Or more specific, if I purchase this T-shirt from the store, how soon can it be delivered? Can it be delivered by by the time it's my daughter's birthday or not? All of those questions that require, where your customers or people or people the listener base maybe expecting you to get back as ASAP rather than you know filling out a contact form and waiting on a response. I think those can all be taken care of using an in-app chat feature, a secure chat that's built within the application. I think that's a great idea if that's what you're looking for.
Right. So I think when I think of an app, right, I think of something like that, you know, something that we definitely want to, you know, try to engage, you know, with, you know, producing our content and, you know, Little City videos, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That can link to our YouTube channel or something like that. I don't know. That's what my thoughts are.
So the videos, are they, like, hosted on – I'm sorry, the website's working a little slow, but I'm just trying to get to the video section. But are they, like, hosted on YouTube or are they hosted on the website itself?
I create them in YouTube, and then I share that link, and they're hosted on the website.
Okay, so it's essentially
– But the source is YouTube.
Right, okay, so that's YouTube hosted, and that's best as far as the website is concerned. I mean, so it doesn't take up a lot of space on your hosting server, and
right.
So that's great. Here's how I kind of imagine, you know, the app working. And let's try and paint a canvas and our heads together on how this could work. So the app is going to be distributed on both the Android and iOS, right? Apple and the Google Play Store.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's going to be at least two interfaces for the application. One is going to be the listener base that listens to your podcast, that would purchase from your store, that would contact you if they have an inquiry and simply make a donation on the application. The other side, and the less obvious side, is going to be your sales that are going to be managing the application or responding back to any queries coming through the chat or just seeing whether how many people are on the application and listening to the podcast or receiving the orders that are coming in from the customer side of the application. That's two interfaces that we'd be brainstorming together. And talking about the more important interface, that's the customer side or the client side, is this a, I mean, do you want to monetize the application? Is this a, you know.
I think I want to make, maybe in the future. Mm-hmm. I think right now, because we're working with like local authorities, I think that the goal is to encourage kids to read. And it's a reading initiative. So, you know, we would at this time at least offer it at no cost.
Okay. And then sometime in the future we can have a
99 cent, I don't know. I just don't wanna
yeah.
block out, you know, anyone. Like I don't wanna block out anyone. So it's like, I don't know, do we charge 99 cents, you know, for the app, or what's your thoughts?
Well, I would rather say that, you know, even with commercial kind of products where, you know, everything's about, you know, the profit and the bottom line revenue and everything, a lot of the, you know, the apps we do, we always recommend that you, you know, when you're pilot launching or you're, you know, say the first 6 months of your launch, you offer the product for free. And that kind of removes a lot of barriers in terms of the downloads, the number of downloads that are important. In the matrix of, you know, how successful an application is and whether it shows up on the app stores or not, all of that. And then, you know, as soon as you have onboarded people, there's many different ways you can make money out of the application. If you have to, A, you have to, you know, earn profits out of it, or simply you want to sustain the application and make sure it can pay for itself, right? And I think in
right.
your case, you're more looking towards the option B, where you can sustain the application, you can offer it as a distribution platform without being dependent on a third party and still being able to, you know, keep your own application. That in the future can, of course, make, you know, some sort of revenue as well. So I would recommend you start out free, and in the future, when about, say, 6 months down the road, we can have a freemium version of the application whereby there is no paywall to get into the application, to download the application, but once you get into it, there's two sides of the content. One is the free content that's also available on your free website. It's publicly distributed. And then you can think of some premium content that stays behind a paywall, and that's only for people that make a nominal purchase with you. So let's say if you don't want to charge them directly for that content, it's only available to people that make you a donation, for example, if you want to encourage donations to your platform. Or if someone makes their store purchase with you and purchases, say one of your merch or, one of your T-shirts or whatever, it's just for them, right? So
I like the premium option, because then that way we can track it more, and then maybe based on a purchase. I don't know, but I do like the premium option and deciding on what that threshold is, whether it's through a donation. What do you see with kids' app that they charge for the premium? What is that going for?
Well, they go for anywhere between, I'd say, $4 up to, and this is, by the research we did about almost a year ago, so these may not be the most updated numbers, but it's anywhere between $3.99 up to, I've even seen apps that charge about $30 per sign up or per subscription. But then, it's a whole different ball game for them, because for $30.
Is that monthly or is that one
that's
time?
A monthly. That's a monthly.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So
yeah,
and then
I can
of course
see doing something like $5 a month maybe, or $4.99 a month, right?
I think that's a very fair price point, and I wouldn't discourage you from it. It's just that I would rather recommend you start out free, and then you always have that option to have a cable.
And then, I would start off free for sure, because we want to push it, get it out there, and I have to then figure out what that premium part is going to look like. And
exactly.
Then, like you said, once we establish that, we can quantify it at that time and decide the price point based on the value of what the premium is going to offer.
Right, there you go.
And I think
premium
is going to be probably more behind the scenes, a little bit more into our challenges, a little bit more personalization is what I'm thinking.
Right, and more fresh and crisp as well. I mean, timely content going out and, different kind of content. That, again, is something that you'd have to run your, creative brains with on how to make it worth the $4 or $5 price point. Although that's a very nominal fee, so it's not a lot that your, target customers would be expecting, but you'd still have to make it, kind of differentiate it from the free version versus the premium version.
Right.
So coming to the first version of the application and just how we could launch it and then, kind of gain some traction and then build on to the next phase of development. Talking about the first phase and how you go live and build the foundations, I think we're talking about the audio podcasts that are going to be hosted on the application, and that I'm believing is the core focus of the application, right? So let's say if we talk about the first screen that opens up when you sign in, you would like for your customers to see the podcasts that you offer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, with the standards of a mobile application, let's say, just to, again, paint a canvas and our heads together, on the bottom navigation, just like you see it in, a lot of applications, there's a bottom navigation, and you can always navigate to, let's say, the videos, right? So the second tab that you can tap on would be the videos, and where you could have all the videos either hosted from YouTube or hosted natively on the application itself. But that's going to be the video segment of the application. I think the other way to go about it, if you want to make it a little more immersive and, kind of offer like a holistic experience with each of these, series, as you call them, or seasons, as you call them, I think what we could do is we could offer them as, a whole season together. So let's say if the videos are all connected to season one and you create podcasts that are connected with season one, and then you create videos that are connected with season one, and then you have a store with the products that are connected with, that are bifurcated for season one, season two, and then season three and four in the future, and so on and so forth. I think we could offer them as seasons. right? And then in the future, when you want to offer a premium version, I think that's even going to make things a lot more easier for you, in the sense that, let's say, the first two seasons are available for free for everyone, right? So everyone can download the application, they can sign up and sign in, they become your, so you have their sign-in information, and that's your data that you can retarget. And so whenever you have a new season coming out, you can offer that for a price point, let's say $2.99 a month, right? Or, $2.99 one time, or say, $5.99 one time for access to season three, while everyone can watch season one and two or listen to season one and two for free of cost. They would need to purchase season three and onwards for, say, $6 one time, or $2 per month if it's the kind of content that would keep updating over time and you would keep adding to that season in the future.
Right. I like that
Correct.
idea, and I like keeping it at the lower price point just so that since we're new, right, getting that brand recognition and stuff out there. Because I think this is when we could do the reels and have really fun with the kids, you know?
Absolutely. And then,
Like
you can.
bring in the characters. Because we have different characters, right? And so as we grow, like my daughter, she has a character, Dr. Kate, you know, like we have different characters that kind of show up on a show, and we
Right.
can then be like, oh, you know, premium, you get total access, you know, to all the content with this character and, you know, a free birthday book or
Exactly. Yeah. So
something.
kind of build a. So sorry to cut you off, but I just want to add here that, you kind of build around one season at a time, and therefore it's all connected, right? So if someone's listening to the podcast for the first season, now they have some bite-sized videos to watch, for example. And then they, while they're finally immersed into the blogs and the, podcasts and the video content, they would be a lot more, enticed to make a shop purchase, for example, or make a donation to the next season coming in because they really like the first season. You see what I'm saying? So rather than bifurcating them or, kind of distributing them as, classifying them as, a separate section for podcasts for all the seasons, another section for videos, and then another section for shop, I think we could rather go the other way around it, and we can offer them as, episode one, and then, all the podcasts for episode one in one place, along with all the videos for episode one. So it's all connected. It's all one room or one world that the user is immersed in before they move to season two, and then before they move to season three. And then even the products can be connected within the podcast or even within the video. So when someone's looking at their favorite character for season one, they can see a blurb underneath that showing them a plush doll, for example, that they can purchase for that season one's character, right? And they would be a lot more encouraged to make that purchase rather than having a store sitting somewhere on the bottom of the application on the side and, the user going to it manually and, deciding if they want to make a purchase or not.
Right, I like that idea.
Awesome. I actually like to show you something that, we're working with a client and, although it's under the NDA right now, so I cannot show you the screens and everything, but they're doing something similar, and I'm pretty sure they'd be happy to know that if this gives you any kind of inspiration, I'll show you their, I'll try and show you their website. So essentially what this client does is she also has series of content that she builds for kids around different characters. So let's say the series that she builds. In fact, let me send you the website first so you can look at it while I'm talking, so that gives you a
Oh,
better idea.
this is my work line. Let me give you my cell phone number so you can send it to me. It's
All
717
right, yeah.
888, and I'll put it in the chat too so you have it. 717-888-0230. Because that's my cell phone number. I'm
Okay,
sorry.
awesome.
This is my office line.
Oh, no,
So
perfect. Thank
I
you.
just.
So,
So I also put it in the chat so you have it.
awesome. I'll
Okay.
take the number down. I'll leave you a text message after the call as well. But right now, I think since you're connected on the chat, I can just send you the link here. So this is the other client that I'm working with right now. And I think this is very much along the lines of what you need, right? So,
Right.
in their case, I think we have already, gone back and forth and whether it could be a separate section for videos and all those questions that we're having right now. We've already answered those questions and deliberated those questions for this particular client, and I think we feel like we are in the right direction right now, and we're still building the application. It's still under development, and I'd love to show you as soon as that's out of the NDA and that's public. But for right now, we could take some inspiration from how we are doing it for her, and I think that could come to use and how we could build it for you as well. She also has products. She has video content. She even has illustrations and animations for each of the characters. So, for example, the first character that you're looking at is called the Little Virtue, right? And then a second character is called the Little Honesty. And then a third character is called the Little, I don't remember the exact names, to be honest with you, but, this
the Little Patient Plush Doll.
There you go. The Little Patient, right? So, in fact, right now, she's, having her animator that works with her do the plush dolls for the little patients, and they would, I think, be launched pretty soon, probably with, by the... Do you have, those characters that you build the seasons around them as well, or...
Yeah. So we have a trademark for the uh-ohs, right? Uh-huh. And Adventures of the Uh-ohs. You can check that website out. Let me put it in the chat. Because this is kind of how, let me put it in the chat here.
Okay.
So it started out, so let me just tell you our backstory, right? So it's the pandemic, right? And I'm trying to explain to my daughter what's going on out here. And so we just did a impromptu video, wasn't, studied. It's like literally I just took the camera and I said to my daughter, the uh-oh is out there. She says, the uh-oh is out there? I say, yeah. And at that time, we weren't wearing masks. We just had to cover, right, so we could use scarves. Mm-hmm. And so I said, and that's why we have to cover. And then my little girl goes, oh, my God, I got to get my mask for the uh-oh gets me. And then one of my clients saw it, and he was like, oh, my God, you should really, turn this into, a book. And then I wrote the book, right? And then I had to put a pause on it because at that time, nobody wanted to talk about the pandemic, right? So I was, because no one knows what Adventures of the Uh-ohs are, I was kind of hesitant to kind of launch it from that way. Because technically the goal of the Reading and Tea Time show was to bring alive our world of our characters. So in our book, the first character, Jib the Germ, he's helping Dr. Kate, that's where that character comes from, trying to figure out what's going on and how they can solve the pandemic, right? And so, but if you go to the website, you'll get to see a little bit of overview.
It's a bit of a bummer here. The website says it's not available. It's temporarily unavailable. Is that your website that you control, or... Is that an inspiration for someone else to show me?
No, it's mine. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, it should not have. I don't get that.
Yeah, that's probably a hosting provider. You might want to contact them and see what's going on.
It's not that. I think something I must have to reload the. It looks like I must have to reload the SSL. We're moving our uh-ohs from register to a new provider, so the website is still live. I just think because the SSL, hold on, there's a certain way that you gotta. Hold on a second.
Oh, so you see the website yourself?
Yeah, it's just that it says your connection is not private because the SSL, that's why.
That's the problem.
Yeah, so you have to do the
bypass the page that says your connection is not secure. If you want to go ahead anyway, you tap on this button. I did. And it still says
Uh-huh.
this site is temporarily unavailable. And that's where it tells me hosted by register.com as well.
Okay, then I need to call them then, yeah, because we didn't move it or anything yet, so I'll give them a call.
Yeah, it's
But
probably just
anyway.
SSL or, yeah.
Right.
So you were telling me
Yeah,
that this is
weird.
a, you know, this this is another brainchild of the COVID times, right? Okay, beautiful. I mean, I've seen a lot of clients that that came up with some of these beautiful ideas during COVID, and it really gave us all a time to kind of reflect back and sit back with our families and come up with something out of something different beyond the regular day to day that we go about. So
Yeah,
this
I
you're saying
really
is the
wish you
first
could see
series?
it. I gotta give them a call because I didn't even know. I was unaware of that. That's weird. But what did you? I'm sorry. What did you ask?
No, I was just saying that. I mean, I would love to look at the website, but even if not this time, you can always let me know when it's up and running. And if we get to work together, we can probably do you another beautiful website as well, in good
Yeah,
faith,
so just to go,
because.
kind of go over like everything, kind of like, because once we were trademarked under classification 41, then it was like, okay, then what does that mean? What does that mean as far as producing content? So because no one knew what Adventures of Bells were, and it ended up turning into a world, right? So different characters. Reading in Tea Time was the way to deliver that content to kids and bedtime stories, but then I thought, well, we don't want to just trap it into our brand, and so that's kind of why I popped out the bedtime stories and reading and tea time, because I thought Adventures of the Uh-Ohs can have their own thing.
Adventures of the Uh-Ohs. I mean, I love the name and the whole background about how it came along. I mean, it's beautiful, and it's just about how you now how you put this together and kind of dish it out to your target audience without making it too confusing, keeping it simple. And but otherwise, I absolutely love the name, and I'm pretty sure the characters and everything, they all connect and everything really well as well. I'll look at the website too whenever that gets up and running. Hopefully, you probably get on top of it right after this call. So,
Oh yeah, I am.
for sure.
Because I
Okay.
didn't even know. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that. But anyway, that's kind of where that came in. And so, in order to deliver the content, I created the Reading and Tea Time show because I don't know. I just thought, well, people wouldn't know what the O's are. Are they going to be likely to, what would they be likely to do? Right.
So, what again is the exact connection between the adventures of Uh-Ohs or and the tea time stories? I mean, are they one thing, or is that one of
Totally
the
separate.
seasons?
Yeah,
Okay.
they're totally separate. What I decided to do was, I thought that it was more important. The goal was, well, if I launched these podcasts separately, now when we release Adventures of the Uh-Oh, people are aware of us, you know what I'm saying? And that's a different app, that's a different trademark, altogether.
Right.
So
So
that's kind
is it?
of right.
So do you not think it's easier to kind of combine them, or is there? Do you think that that's going to, kind of dilute their unique, their unique, say, characteristics? I think it could be, one app that has the adventures of Uh-Ohs, and we can have, the other seasons all kind of bundled together into one season at a time, And we could, even with the launch, I think we could do this. We could have like the first two seasons going out together, and then, you know, as time passes, that's also going to give you some time to kind of brush up your work and kind of polish it out before you distributed this on the application. And then, honestly, you'd have to keep offering, you know, content to keep people on the application as well, right? So rather than going out with everything together, I think whatever you have right now, while we build the application for you, you could kind of brush it up and then, you know, kind of release a portion of it on the application, right? And then while you update that content, while you send out more updates to the first two seasons, for example, you can even take your time working on the third one, and therefore your, you know, listener base or your reader base can actually, you know, kind of look forward to some more content coming in the near future.
So you're thinking of putting all three on one app?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't, you know, think about doing like three different apps for three different
So do
episodes.
we change the name then? Because reading, or do we just keep it reading cool and then, like you said, it will have the three worlds, right? Reading in tea time, bedtime stories, and then Adventures of the O's. Because
That's right.
Adventures
That's
of the O's.
exactly how I would recommend you.
Oh, okay. I like that idea. And then
Right, that's
maybe, like you said, as we move forward, premium would be access to Adventures of the O or something
That's
like
right.
that.
And then, yeah, and then even the other, you know, the next seasons you do, or the next, you know, yeah, the seasons you do, they can be premium while you still offer the first two, the bedtime stories and the, you know, the tea time adventures. They can be the free, they can always remain free, and the first content that the user gets to interact with before they decide to purchase the third season. And the adventures of Uh-Ohs, and you know the next seasons that are coming in, they can all be, you know, they can all be behind a paywall. But I think the first two can be free of cost. So the tea time and the
Right.
bedtime stories can be free of cost.
Right. No, I like that idea.
Awesome,
No,
yeah.
I
And then
like
I
that
think,
idea.
you know, And then I think from a structure point of view, I think we can have it one season all bundled together, and that makes it easier to distribute as well. So when the user comes in the application,
So should I
first
do the
they.
Aspen and Adventures of the Uh-Ohs, which is the trademark name? Because when I go renew my trademark, it'll be easier to say, oh, okay, then the app is in that name. Is that what I should do? When
Well,
we
it
name
wouldn't
the
really
app?
help you renew the trademark if that's what you're saying, but you know, even if you have like a season within the application, the umbrella
That's
application
what I
has like
mean.
all,
Yeah.
yeah, that could be shown as a, because with trademarks you have to show the first use in commerce or something like that, right? So
Oh,
yeah,
we
that
did
could
that
be,
already. So.
yeah.
Yeah, I have that already. I use the website.
Okay.
Right.
So I don't think it would really help you with a trademark,
So
but yeah, I mean, it's
what
always
we
a good
did
idea.
was we, yeah, so I, and I kind of probably asked that wrong because what I was thinking is not with reading time and the other one, but, you know, they would access. You like that name? Reading is cool. When we name
I
the
think we
app,
could,
is that.
I'll be honest with you, I think we could come up with a few better suggestions. Unless you have a background story to this name and you really want to keep it, I think we can come up with
No.
a few.
No. Do you
Let's say
think
we'll
use
bounce off
Adventures
some
of the
ideas.
O's?
Yeah. I love the name. I mean, I love the Adventures of Uh-Ohs. I mean, I love the name and the background as well, especially when it comes together as a story. It's going to be a lot more helpful with connecting people to the story as well. Reading is
I think
cool.
we can
I
do
think we
that.
could have some better options.
Okay.
Right, so yeah, I mean, that's something we can always bounce off ideas on, and you know, if then you still like the name, I think it's not bad. I mean, it's just I'm saying that, you know, while we have the liberty to kind of brand this, we could come up with a few different options and then decide which one we want to go for. And then, you know, one of the seasons can be called Adventures of the Uh-Ohs, and the, you know, second one can be called the Tea Time Stories. All of those no names are good. Just the app name,
Oh no,
if
I just would like the separate Adventures of the O's is a book series, whereas Reading and Tea Time are strictly podcasts. Adventures of the
Right.
Uh-Ohs is like a whole thing by itself, you know what I mean? So I think that whatever we call the podcast, I mean, like, what are one of our main characters, he's like the lead character. We can, I mean, it's a guy. I don't know if, you know, if that would be advantageous, but his name is SDR. And,
SDR.
you know, he,
Okay.
and he helps kids, like, do, so the uh-oh is not just the book and the pandemic. It's also, we have the uh-ohs of life, the uh-oh moments, right, that we navigate kids through different stages and different situations in their lives. So that's why having it just a season would be different. Like, we can have a season inside of that Adventures of the Uh-Oh, right?
Right.
Yeah. Where it can
Yeah,
be
but
like the book launch or book one or, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but you know, all I'm trying to say is that, you know, each of these names is one word we're talking about right now within this, you know, when you enter Adventures of the Owls, it's going to show you the content for just that, right? It's going to show you if it's a book, that's going to show you the
So we
book.
just got to come up with a name for the app.
Exactly. Yeah, the umbrella.
And it
Consider
doesn't
this like
have
a
to
hierarchy,
be.
right? It's a, yeah.
Yeah.
The reading is
I
cool. I think
agree.
it's not a bad name, but since we have the opportunity, we can look at a few more options because that's going to
I
be
like
the main
that.
thing that the people get to know you with.
Right. Because reading can is cool as something that they can click on in there. You
They
know,
can
like,
click on.
you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so, like, we can make reading this cool, and that can be just books at Kendra's Picks of the Week or something, you know? Like, it doesn't have to be
Yeah,
the name
so
of the app. Yeah.
we'll see. How I envision this looking is, you know, when you get into the application, A, you have to have the name for the app itself, right? The name that shows up
Right.
on your phone, right? And along with the logo or the icon. I think that could be Reading is Cool or some other name that we can come up with during this time. So that's the name. Let's say it's Reading is Cool. That is for now. So when you tap on that and when you get into the application, now you can see the different seasons and different, say Adventures of the Owls and the tea time stories and the bedtime stories. They show up as like a catalog, right? They show up as three different tabs or three different catalog items. If you tap on one of them, you're taken into that world. Now all the content would be related to the tea time stories, for example, if you tap on tea time stories, right? And likewise, if you tap on bedtime stories, you'd be taken into bedtime stories and you can see the podcast, you can see the reading material, any kind of challenges or any kind of interactive activities that come in the future. All of that would be bifurcated per the different seasons, right? So there's an umbrella name. Looking at it as a hierarchy, there's an umbrella name that the app would be branded as. And then once you get into the application, you have three different kinds of content right now, three different kinds of seasons right now. Let's call them seasons for now, just to, you know, for the sake of simplicity. And then in the future, there may be more. I mean, you may want to launch a fourth season with a different kind of name, whole different world, a whole different set of characters. So, you know, that kind of leaves it open and non-exhaustive, and you can always keep adding more, you know, seasons to it. And, you know, hopefully down the road, right now, I'm not too sure if you have a team or you work with animators or not. What kind of, are you like a single man army right now, or do you have like a, you know,
Yeah.
a single person, right?
Right.
Okay, sweet. I mean, that's exactly where most things start. But, you know, looking at it in the future, you might want to have, you know, people join you, right? And either like-minded people that like to do the content like you do, or people with different skills. So let's say someone, say an animation team and a writing and proofreading team, right? Manufacturers for your shop and the, you know, the merchandise. So it's going to be a team in the future, right? When you have to post a lot of content and you want to grow this and scale this. At one point, you have to add people and build a team around it. And when it gets to that stage, then you will be posting regular content. You will be coming up with one series after the other. Let's say 2025, you decide to launch two more series. and you have, say, a team of animators and writers and proofreaders and whatnot, probably two or three people, if not more. But essentially, the idea is that we need to leave it non-exhaustive and also structure this in the sense that it can grow, and there's no, there's no limitations on how we can, grow this and how we can branch this out into different seasons and different episodes further down the line. And then each episode can have like a merch or a shop item connected to it, so people can, while they're going through the episode, they can go ahead and then make a purchase if they like the episode so much, or if they like the character of the season so much.
I like it, yeah.
Awesome. So, but then again, I mean, that's how I envision this for the, say, 2025. This is where you should be if you are able to launch the app within 2024, right? So it's a medium-term plan we're talking about. But what we recommend is, there's always, we recommend an incremental development approach, whereby rather than having all the bells and whistles and trying to get out with all the features, we always recommend you take a lean approach, whereby you build out the foundations, you launch the first application with a limited number of core features that are absolutely essential to launching your first phase. And then once that gets some traction and you build some audience, now you can start adding more features to it. And the framework that you're going to use to build the application, that's going to be completely open source. So there's no limitations that you'd be looking at in the future in terms of what you can have on the application, what features you can have, and what functions you can have. So you're, down the line, there could be a lot more. Like with the Little Virtues application, since it's an investor-backed, say, a startup right now, they even have interactive games that we're building for them, right? So each series or each
But having
season.
this act, so like there was this grant that had just we just missed it because we didn't have a prototype or we didn't have an app, and we could have been, that would have been a good one, for us to kind of, and that's how it named, and then also too, we're working with, I'm working on another grant too, right, that we're going to probably get them to fund our app. And so part of the question that I got to answer for them, and that's kind of where the app comes in, how do we put it in the hands of the kids of Dauphin County to solve this literacy issue? Now, of course, this app is not restricted to Pennsylvania, it's not restricted to Dauphin County, but at, when I'm writing it, that's kind of where it came from. But yeah, you're totally right, Rick. Like, that's the vision to have it here 2024. Now we do have a one little cartoon that we did where we have an actress talking with Jib the Germ, and they're just talking about their experience with the with COVID. But what happened was my daughter and I, we had tragedy strike, and I didn't get depressed, but I had like trauma. Trauma is totally different than depression, right? And when I was
Oh, I'm sorry. Are
traumatized,
you talking about yourself?
And so when I was traumatized, that's when I took this world and I came up with the O's of life and the O moments, because it was like the escape, right? Because my daughter was hurt, and it was like the escape. And then it was like this, when you're in trauma, like it's not connected to time because you're in consciousness. And so then that's when it became like, we're not health focused, right? But Dr. Kate could definitely travel to the children's hospital as a costume, right? And and just make kids so happy. But that's kind of how the Adventures of the Uh-Oh kind of like it turned into this world where you have SDR and kind of like help. Like what SDR do, right? And just kind of help kids make those decisions. So, yeah, you're totally right. Like it's definitely something that can scale, and like you said, starting lean and utilizing what we have, then we can scale that. Because I know, like, I've had LG, look at wanting to put the app for Vincent is, oh, but I haven't released the material. So we had like a lot of peekaboos, but I just never had, you know, I never really like, yeah. So I think like this, you know, it like, you know, moving forward, right? It's like, okay, I can't be stuck in like la la land, right? I have to move forward. I have to get our book out, release the book, I should say, and you know, get back to the podcast. You know what I mean? Which is what we're in production of three, but we can call it one since it's like a relaunch. I would like to, we can call that one, and then we can just say past series or something that they can view those past series. But yeah, I like your way of thinking, and I think that's very conducive for us.
Awesome, and then I'm glad to hear about you know, the grants and you know, the all the different funding options you have available. In fact, with the other client, she's also going to raise funds through crowdfunding, right? And why I'm telling you all of this is because, you know, there's so many different ways to go about it. So even if but I think you're in the right direction when you say that, you know, if you have a prototype, I think that itself opens a lot of doors to you. I mean, there's private investors, there's schools that want to invest in something like this. There's government, the county government, the, you know, the county office that may be interested in, you know, using this as a tool.
Yeah, this is who I'm writing the grant for this specific app for. Like, it houses all this, but we received a grant last year for our, I have a home care, and we do non-emergency transportation, so we'll be doing another app later down the line for that. But anyway, so that our consumers can, but anyway, when we wrote the grant, we wrote the grant for both programs, meaning transportation and for the, at that time it was just the podcast. However, the amount that we was awarded, I have to totally put that in the non-emergency bucket for our vehicles, like that program. So I got a letter since we applied last year to reapply, and it makes it a lot easier for us since we kind of have all the data based on why we should have this, right? And they approved it. And my workaround is that, you know, being new at submitting a grant here, we should have focused on one program and not two. Because, you know, if we're going to reduce, if we're going to add to health equity by providing transportation, so what I did was I made this part of our initiative, which is where Reading is Cool kind of comes in and how it branches to the home care. So now I'm going back to them to say, hey, we're going to apply just for the podcast, but guess what? We made it a little bit more definitive that we can put it in individual kids' hands. We still can partner with the community. And, you know, the app is then safe. The parents, you know, would have to download it. It's free. It's accessible.
So just for shits and giggles, I mean, you've already got your foot in the door with the county office, and you think you can, you know, it's going to be a lot more easier for you to kind of have this funded and grow this to the next level.
Depending on
right?
how much it costs.
Oh, yeah,
so
definitely.
What,
I mean, that's the bottom
so
line.
What,
I mean, I know it all sounds to you.
What are we looking at?
Well, I mean,
cool.
I don't want to jump the guns on you, honestly. I mean, there, and then, you know, not like there's like a one-size-fits-all kind of pricing with something like this, because like I said, I mean, there's endless possibilities with what we can do with an application, and it all comes down to how far you want to take it in the first go, knowing that you always have a chance to build on top of the foundation. So the first phase is always going to be building the foundation.
I definitely want to be able to build on the foundation, yes.
Okay. And when we say foundations, we're talking about, say the name of the app is Reading a School or whatever we want to keep it, but exactly how we discussed it in terms of the structures, there's three different kinds of app, you know, seasons for now. Let's call them seasons for now, all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
One is bedtime stories. The other one is tea time.
Oh, no. They would be – they're not – so each podcast has its own season. You see what I'm saying? Because they run separate. So, like, Reading in Tea Time, that podcast is a totally different podcast from Bedtime Stories.
Yeah, I understand that, and
So
probably
it
just
would
what I said.
be, so there would be a season one for Bedtime Stories, there'd be a season one for Reading in Tea Time.
Okay. And then each of these is going to, so what do you call them? I mean, what's the jargon for, Reading in Tea Time and Bedtime Stories? What do you call them?
They're
Are
podcasts,
they not seasons?
right?
Podcasts. Okay.
Huh? Yeah, I mean,
Podcasts, you say, yeah.
we can use, well, Reading in Tea, or we can call it the show, or, the Reading in Tea Time experience. I mean, but when they click on it, the only one that's a little bit different would be The Adventures of the Uh-ohs. And that's just because it has a little bit more. Because that one is probably the most investor friendly one. Not that the other two aren't, but that one has, cinema, it has books, it has leverage. Where these two is just more of our corporate social responsibility, right? And so they are actually podcasts, and they come from the Reading is Cool initiative, which is saying that we are encouraging kids to, and it's not about any banned book or anything like that, it's just we create stories. So, I create stories. So, like it could be about Timmy the Turtle, and it's a short story. And then I take kids. We do affirmations. We talk about feelings and emotions. So each podcast has its own little rhythm and little thing. So I guess we would want the user to be able to click on Reading in Tea Time, and poof, it brings that up, or click on Bedtime Stories. We don't have to add Adventures of the Uh-ohs on that one yet if we don't want to.
And then in the future, if you
Because
want to do
that
it, you could.
one,
Right.
yes. But because they would be funding the two podcasts anyways. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because they're funding, because I'm getting them to fund the Reading is Cool initiative. But we don't have to call the app that, because we want a name that's good, right? So people are like, oh, I want this name. So we can call the app anything, and then when they click on it, be like, welcome to our Reading is Cool initiative or something. I don't know. We could put that at the bottom or on the About Us or whatever. I could just keep that on the website. But yeah. So
It's a bit
each
of a branding job,
podcast has
so.
its own website. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So each podcast has its own website. I haven't started Bedtime Stories yet because I'm waiting to see what happens when I, so July 3rd is when I submit the budget for the Bedtime Story. So I haven't done anything with that because since I'm not going to use this round of grant for that, their advice was don't do anything with it yet then. You know what I mean? Because they kind of have it listed under that grant, so when I go before them, I have to convince them that, I should have never asked for two projects. You know what I mean? It would have been better to do them separately, and that, I can show them how we're using the funds for what we asked
Yeah, just a
for.
bit of a
But
bureaucratic kind of a red tape with dealing with government grants and
right.
I've been through so many of them with my clients now, and everyone have all of them have like different kinds of red tapes, as you could call them, on a high level. But I understand where you're coming from, and I think in this case, it's best to take the advice of the person that's kind of leading you in that direction or guiding you about how to go about grant funding and whatnot. As far as the app is concerned, so tell me this, Kendra. Do you have, are you fully dependent upon the grant, and when that comes in to for each stage of the application? Or do you have like a personal budget that you want to spend on getting this going and then have the grant to fund?
I think what we're going to do is we're going to, so I am going, which is why we're using that grant specifically for our non-emergency transportation, because what's going to happen is then I can, because it's kind of part of my health care's initiative, I can fund that money back into those kind of things. So I think initially I'm going to use a grant, and we have several ones that we have put out so far. And nowadays, every grant that I have written for, there's that community responsibility, that community impact. So that's kind of how we pivot the two together when we're talking about our home care. So I think initially to get it off, yes, we will be codependent on the grants. But as we start moving forward with our home care, which we should be going live with that by August, then the company would be in full control of the cost.
Okay, that makes sense. And you mentioned that it's going to be helpful for you if you have the prototype at hand when you apply for the grant. Or did I misunderstand this?
Not, no. For this, I just need a budget. Yeah, no. It was another grant I was speaking of that one specifically, they wanted a prototype. We missed that one, but I'm on this grant list, so I get like all the grants for creators. And so that one, I apply for it anyway. But that's kind of where the idea. If I never applied for the grant, I wouldn't even know, like, is this a good idea? Right? And so I went through the process, but we didn't have a prototype, so I knew we wouldn't get it, but I did it anyway, because now I have the language, so that I can use
Because
that
when you
language.
this one probably sounds like a ground that you already have like an upper hand with. But usually
Yes.
when you're going through a competitive round of grant funding, you have to present to them something just exactly like the other grant you spoke about that you applied for previously, and they required the prototype. So that kind of makes it two different directions as far as how to accomplish this is concerned, right? And
Yeah,
all I'm
but
trying
for
to figure
this
out the
one, for
options
the
to you, yes.
county, I just need the budget numbers
Okay.
and time frame and when what happens when.
Okay, so I have my LOE sheet open right now, and I'm just trying to do some numbers here. So you need the store, and you need the ability to upload the podcast, the videos, and the blogs all together on the application in the first phase of the application, right?
Right, with the donations, right? Yes.
Oh, the donations as well.
Or sponsorships, I don't know what you want to call, like donations slash sponsor.
Yeah, I think in terms
Probably
of
donations.
function. Okay, in terms of function, people can log into their PayPal, and they can go ahead and make a funding, or they can contribute to
Right.
your cause, right? Okay.
Right.
I'm still doing some numbers at my end. As far as the timeline is concerned, I think we'd be looking at somewhere about. I think 5 months is a safe timeline to accomplish something like this, given that we first designed the application, right? So what we're having right now is discovery, right? And this probably would go on to a couple more phases before you decide to get going and get the formalities out of the way, and then we have the team assigned to your project that you get to meet and everything. But then from there comes the next stage that's called the design phase, whereby we first show you a couple mood board options to kind of have you on board with the look and feel of the application. So rather than like doing all the screens of the app together, we first show you major screens of the application, and then once you like one of the mood boards and the overall look and feel and the color palette we choose and the iconography and the font style and everything, that's when once you have a choice on the mood board, that's when we go ahead and do the rest of the complete. We scale out the application for you, right? So rather than showing you the full design together and having all the legwork sent out, and then getting back to you and showing you the designs and you don't like it, we get back on the drawing table. I think the mood board interval step kind of helps be on the same page before we go full out and we do all the designs together. So this is where you get by the end of the design phase is where you get a prototype, right? And the prototype essentially is going to be put together in a software that you can present, that you can, you know, that you can use to present to any kind of private investors you want to do, or any kind of grant funding that you want to send this out to. I know for this grant you don't need it, but you know, just so you know that, you know, at one step, at one phase within the regular application development, you do get a prototype before we get into the development, right? So once you have the prototype handy and you look at it and you approve it and you love everything that you're seeing as far as the designs are concerned, now is when we get into the development and we do the front-end development of the designs that you approved, and then the back-end, you know, logic building and the nucleus of the application, the brains of the applications is built, which is called the beta phase of development. So when these two sections of development are completed, now that's when you get to see the application once again, make sure it's all, you know, exactly according to how you envisioned this at the start and through the process. And then our team does the testing and the QA as well before we go ahead and we submit this to the app stores, you know, the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store under your name or under your company's name, and, you know, before it gets approved and before it gets live on the app stores and it's publicly available, just like any other app that we download on our phones on a daily basis. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what the process looks like. And you know, in short, it's a 4D process, right? So discovery, design, development, and then deployment, right? And therefore, you know, talking about the funding and the payments, those are going to be divided into about four different, you know, at least three different milestones as well, right? So that said, with what we're trying to accomplish so far and what we've spoken so far, given that you want to launch this for both the Android and the iOS, so that's two sets of applications we're speaking about, I think we'd be looking at about anywhere between $18,000 and $24,000. I know that's a, you know, that's a wide bracket, but I'd have to, you know, get into the numbers and get together with the team to kind of give you the exact cost. But I think between $18,000 and $24,000 is what you'd be looking at in terms of getting the, you know, the first phase of the application completed, just exactly how we discussed it, along with the shop.
How
the
much is it per app? Like, so if we did just Android, what would we be looking at if we did just Android?
Okay, that's a good question. So 60% of the budget that I gave you is going to be for one of the two platforms, whether you decide to go with Android or the iOS. And therefore, the second one interface is going to cost you 40% of that.
Okay.
Right? So that's more or less the rule of thumb with doing the calculation with something like this. And then, of course, in the future, we can always have more features. And then we can also have, like, a panel for you to be able to upload, like, more series and introduce more seasons within each of these podcasts, or even launch new podcasts in the future, right? Even that possibility would be open. And, you know, all comes down to how you want to scale this in the future and how far you want to take this and what kind of premium content you want to offer to your clients.
Right.
So is this along the lines of, Kendra, is this along the lines of what you were envisioning, or, again, am I jumping the gun on you?
I just need the details to those numbers, if you can get, so I can write them up in a budget.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I can put together, like, a, you know, scope of work document, and that essentially is more like a proposal that comes with the, you know, the breakdown of the features we discussed, and then, you know, along with that comes with the payment plan and the breakdown of the payments as well. Is that,
I have
is that
question.
What you need? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If we added Adventures of the Uh-Ohs, would the price change that much?
I don't think it would. Probably a couple. I'd have to quote off the top of my head, but I don't think more than a couple thousand.
I'll wait till you give the scope of the work, but I would say add the Adventures of the Uh-Ohs, because at least it'd be nice to at least have it in there. Like, we have the three worlds or however. So I think that, yeah, because it would be nice to have that there. And God forbid if we needed to break it out separate, it would be easy, right, to pull it from that app and create its own.
Yeah, I mean, I could let you know the breakdown for whether if we keep it within the first application that we're speaking about, whether how much this is going to be, and if we separate this, then what kind of cost savings are we
No,
looking at?
I mean, like, no. For now, we'll bundle all three together, but what I'm saying is for the investors that are interested just in the ventures of the because that's like a beast of its own, you know what I mean? I said eventually, not now, but once we scale, we may break that into its own separate app because people would know what Adventures of the O's are.
I mean, that's doable. So it just requires
Right.
for us to build a separate application at the end of the day for the third, the Adventures of the O's. We could build a separate application, and that's a whole new application we're talking about. So,
Right, but later,
but
you know, I mean, if it came to that, you know, I can say that
of
that's an
course.
option. But for now, since it's all about kids, you know, I call it, you know, it's like under a media, multimedia branded company, you know, and this is poof, our content.
Of course, yeah. I mean, yes, I understand the direction that you're looking to take with this, and that's 100% doable. So, it wouldn't be a lot of problem. In fact, perfectly doable. So,
Okay.
Kendra, what kind of timelines are we looking at now? I mean,
If I can have the scope of work because they just sent me the email and I need to have like my intent to them by July 3rd.
Okay, that's
But that's
oh
how
wow,
they
okay.
like Monday, I know, right? You're like, oh my God, they didn't give me much time.
So, well, how about I send you like rather than because the scope of work does take some time, right? And it's a pretty detailed kind of document because that also becomes the Bible for the agreement between you and us, right? So, rather than going that far, going down the rabbit hole. For both of us,
I
and then
still would need
also to
that
save the
because this
time.
is just the first, this would be just the first phase. So this will be to get the municipality sponsorship. But when I do submit to the county, we would need the scope, like the scope of work. But for right now, just for this part, we can use something smaller.
Sure. So for now, I can probably do like a shorter version of the scope of work, and I'll focus more
Okay.
on the numbers because that's probably what you need for the the first round. And then once you clear
Right.
that, and hopefully we'll stay in contact whenever you need the second detailed scope of work document to go through the final procedures with the funding organization, you can just let me know and we can go ahead and I can give you a much more detailed scope of work document as well. Does that work?
Okay.
Awesome then. So, all right. So I think we've covered pretty much everything, Kendra. So, third is when you want to send out the LOI, if you call it, letter of interest,
Yes.
and then probably sometime in August is when we're looking at, the grant decision and whether you get the grant, for this initiative or not, right?
No. The next step would be if they vote to support us, then we would need the scope of work to submit to the county.
Yeah, that I understand. So
Yeah.
when do they
And
finalize
then after they
it?
do their voting, then that would be on the grant. So right now it's just okay, who is interested? Like you filed last year. So yeah.
All right. So I'll send you the brief scope of work along with the numbers that you're expecting, and I should be able to send this to you by tomorrow.
Okay.
Right?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, Kendra, thank you so much for your time. I've taken down your personal number as well. I'll make sure to leave you a text message so we're better connected and we can, kind of exchange updates. And I think we'll take it from there.
All right, I agree. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you for your time. I'll let you go for the day, Kendra. Pleasure speaking with you.
I was
All right.
getting ready to say, are there any samples that you can show me so in the meantime I can look at those?
I mean, I can show you quite a few applications we have done. These are all business applications that I could show you. Probably a couple of games that we've done.
Yeah,
But
that's fine.
yeah, because the only application I think we're doing along the lines of what we're
Yeah, I know you have an NDA, so that's fine. I don't need to see that one. I just want to see some work samples, if you know what I mean, so I can get an idea of the feel and look. That's all.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can send that over to you. We have that on the website as well, but I'll make sure to send that in the next email that I send out to you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Awesome, Kendra. Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Nope, that's all.
All right, then you have a good rest of the day ahead, and I'll get back to you via email. Right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.